Physics of the Human Body. These are podcasts from the University of Utah's Department of Physics and Astronomy.
This is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah Department of Physics and Astronomy. I am a physician, and this is part of our Physics of the Human Body series. Today we want to talk about friction as it occurs in both our muscles and in our joints. And a lot of people think, well, what does friction have to do with our muscles or with our joints? And that has just about everything to do. Friction is what propels us forward, and friction in our joints is what ultimately makes our joints operate. It gets too bad, it causes arthritis as the friction wears away at the protective coatings over the bones, and also in the muscles, as the muscles and the tendons run over those. So let's just talk about friction, and we'll repeat it again, but friction is equal to the normal force times the coefficient of friction. And when we talk about the normal force, that's the reactionary force. So with Newton's third law. So if you're talking about a human body standing on the ground, the body's pressing on the ground, but then the normal force is pushing back up on the foot. And that occurs like in the knees and in the hips and in the vertebral bodies of the spine. The weight down on the top of the tibia causes the tibia to push back up on the femur and in those protective linings of the joints. So the normal force is that the force that causes friction. So the bigger the weight, the bigger the normal force will become, and the more the friction. And anything that causes the decrease of the coefficient of friction will decrease friction itself. So in other words, you put lubricants in a joint and other things which will make the joint run smoother will decrease friction. But as those go away, whatever causes that, then friction is going to increase in our joints, whether that be the hip or the knee joint, particularly the knee joint, where there is so much weight, therefore the normal force is big. And if you do things which will decrease the coefficient of friction, then you will get a lot of knee arthritis. And the frictional forces will wear away even more of the protective linings that are created on a joint. So friction is, remember, is the normal force times the coefficient of friction. And those things are low, frictional forces will be low, but as weight goes up and as you do things, as we do things that that will decrease the coefficient of friction, then we will have less joint arthritis. But if we do things that increase the coefficient of friction, then we will have more knee arthritis. So let's just talk then about, more specifically, a case. Let's look at a 44-year-old hiker. And a runner goes to see her physician. She runs and hikes many miles each week. She has developed some complaints and has some concerns that she would like addressed. She has pain when hiking on the outside of her knees, not in the actual inside, but in this case, it's in the outside. It is starting to hurt when she runs. In fact, she finds it very hard to run and hike at all. The pain is mostly on the right knee and mostly when going downhills when hiking and when running on slopes. Also, she is getting pain on the outside of her right elbow. She plays a lot of squash and sometimes tennis. It is very painful to the touch. She is also getting some pain on the inside of her knees. So that sounds like more like a traditional arthritis. It is not bad, but wonders if it is arthritis. After taking x-rays of her knee and completing an exam, she is given the diagnosis of minor arthritis in her knees and what's called iliotibial band friction syndrome and lateral epicondylitis of the elbow. So what is, let's go and talk first of all about what is iliotibial band syndrome. Iliotibial band friction syndrome occurs when the long tendon of what is called the tensor fasciae latae muscle rubs against the lateral epicondyle of the femur. And the iliotibial band starts way up high by the hip and runs all the way down onto the other side of the tibia. So it crosses two joints and is responsible for some of the motions of the knee. If it starts to rub, it can cause pain and inflammation. The IT band syndrome is a very, very common problem. It is an overuse injury caused by friction. So if you think about that now, if you have the iliotibial band rubbing on the outside of the knee, then if it's pressing you increase the coefficient of friction, or you increase the normal force of the bone pushing on that, you're going to get more friction and you're going to get more problems. Certain factors may make people susceptible to developing the injury. The tight tensor fascial outer muscles and a tight or naturally wide IT band may make someone more susceptible to this injury. Weak hip muscles are also thought to be a significant contributing factor. That is, by the way it pulls on the IT band, causing more of the normal force. A big factor, however, in the IT band syndrome is what we call pronation of the foot. When we walk, the foot starts in a supination. That is, it's rotated outwards. And as we walk, the foot rotates inwards, or we call that pronation of the foot. And so if you overpronate, that is when you walk, if you overpronate, that can lead to the poor biomechanics. So if the foot rolls in or flattens, the lower leg rotates inwards, causing the knee to rotate outwards, which will then cause the likelihood of friction as the band or tendon rubs on the outside of the knee even more. So if you rotate the foot inwards, the leg by the knee will rotate outwards, pushing more. That is increasing the normal force on the iliotibial band. And so if you increase the normal force, you will increase friction on that IT band. So the IT band, the biggest risk factor for developing IT band syndrome is poor foot mechanics or biomechanics. That is, it rotates inwards or it pronates inwards too much. Other factors include leg length, of course, because that will create a bigger torque. Running on hills or on cambered roads. And the reason for that is it also will cause the knee to rotate outwards, pushing on the iliotibial band even more. So the treatment for the IT band syndrome involves reducing pain and inflammation. Now, here's this, it's something to understand. If you increase the normal force, then you're going to cause more friction. That will cause inflammation. If you have inflammation, that increases the coefficient of friction. So it kind of is a vicious circle. By increasing the normal force, by increasing your weight, by rotating your foot inward as an overpronating, it pushes the knee outwards. Therefore, you get more frictional forces. Now you have more inflammation. And the more inflammation you have, the more friction you're going to get. So inflammation, as we said, increases the coefficient. And this is the key in treatment. Identifying any underlying causes and keeping the IT band from rubbing over the epicondyle will help with the pain. So proper footwear with appropriate insoles is essential for treatment. So if you are getting IT band, you have to look at a couple of things. And one of those is putting inserts in your shoe, or wearing proper shoes, or getting new shoes that will decrease the pronation of your foot inwards. And this is caused by a flat arch. So the arches, managing the arches of your feet is essential in managing IT band syndrome. So if you are getting IT band syndrome, you need to make sure that you're not overpronating your feet. And that can be corrected by getting the correct arch support. And that means maybe going to the store and buying a correct insert. And a lot of stores, a lot of people, you can look online or study and see, look at your feet and see if they're flat and if you're overpronating. So that is the IT band syndrome. You can also put wraps around it, and which can help the IT band from rubbing on that lateral epicondyle. But the main treatment is to exercise, make sure those hip muscles are strong, and to make sure that your footwear is correct and you're not overpronating. So what is this lady had mentioned that she's getting knee pain on the inside of her knee. So that is osteoarthritis. When we run, we walk, we swing our arms back and forth each day. Therefore, friction exists between the bones. There are mechanisms that reduce friction in the movement of our joints. The entire joint of our knee is surrounded by a capsule. Within the joint capsule, there is an articular cartilage, which, an articular means rubbing, and this provides a smooth surface for the ends of the bones to slide during movement. And the articular cartilage has a very, very low coefficient of friction. And in fact, when you put weight on it, little hyaluronic acids and other liquids are squeezed out of it to decrease the coefficient of friction, to decrease friction. So the cartilage in and of itself has a low coefficient of friction, but then lubricants are squirted out onto the surface to decrease it. There are layers of fibrocartilage region where the joints don't fit well together. The synovial membrane that surrounds the joint and lies beneath the capsule secretes synovial fluid. Synovial fluid also reduces friction in our joints and helps to maintain and lubricate the articular cartilage to allow us to move very freely. So friction, the force that opposes the direction of motion and is present anytime you have motion. There are two types of friction. The first one is static, and the second is kinetic. Static is the friction of non-motion. Now, we don't think of that often, but if just opposing motion creates friction. So if you try to push a book on a table, there will be opposing motion, even though the book is not moving. Same thing in your joints. As you stand and as you just start to move, you will have static friction. As you move, then that switches to kinetic. The static friction is when an object is at rest. When objects move against each other, that is what we call kinetic friction. Static friction tends to be greater than kinetic friction. The coefficient of friction is the ratio of friction over the normal force and is represented by the Greek letter mu. Each individual material has its own coefficients of static and kinetic friction. The coefficient can also change due to factors such as temperature, the magnitude of the normal force, and of the speed, like the speed of walking or motion of driving or pushing a book on a table. Coefficients of friction are always positive and tend to range from 0 to 1. Low coefficients of friction indicate that things slide off the material easily, and high coefficient of frictions indicate that they don't. So keeping a coefficient of friction low in a joint is really essential. Measuring the coefficient of friction of synovial fluids is an incredibly difficult challenge. And through the years, many people have tried to do this and have come close. The best estimates now that the coefficient of friction is approximately point in the knee is approximately 0.001 to 0.03. Now, this is very, very low since our joints have to be able to glide easily when we move. Articular cartilage is a tough layer of smooth white connective tissue that covers the ends of bones, where they articulate with each other within a joint. It is a living tissue which is maintained and is repaired by the cells that are maintained within it. It has no blood supply, and instead it relies on diffusion of nutrients through that tissue to get the nutrients that it needs. The reason it appears white rather than pink is the fact that it contains no blood vessels. If there were no articular cartilage, the bone surfaces would rapidly wear away due to the friction that occurs when bones rub against bone. It's very painful if it gets to that point. Articular cartilage is a self-lubricating. It has to be self-lubricating because of its high fluid content, which gives it the lowest coefficient of friction of any natural man-made material. It is of all materials that we know in existence, or any that have been created, the coefficient of friction of the synovial fluid is the lowest that we have. And so as a consequence to that, we get that low coefficient of friction. And so if you increase your weight, or if you increase the coefficient of friction, then you are going to have those problems. So immediately, we've talked now about two issues, and that is one is the coefficient of friction in the knee, which creates osteoarthritis. So increasing your weight and decreasing the coefficient of friction, or increase the coefficient of friction, will cause that arthritis. What can you do to decrease that? Well, keep your weight down. That means the normal force will be down, and your knees will be very, very thankful. And do things which will increase the coefficient of friction, and that is eat healthy fruits and vegetables and things that grow from the ground. And also not to do things such as smoke, which will decrease the coefficient of friction. Now, as you increase your weight and the normal force goes away, you get that that effect that the weight will actually rub on the articulating cartilage and friction will rub it away. So you have to be careful. Like I said, it's a double whammy. the more weight you have, the more coefficient, and the more you'll wear away that cartilage, and then you increase the coefficient of friction. Now, the other thing on which she had, this lady had, was pain on the outside of her elbow. This is the same kind of disease as the iliotibial band syndrome, because what happens is you play tennis or squash or a hand sport like that, you will pronate your hand inwards and the elbow will bend outwards. So as there's a band across the lateral epicondyle of the elbow, as you play tennis or squash or use your hand in such a way that this occurs, you will get rubbing of a band across the lateral epicondyle of the of the elbow. And if you increase the normal force, and therefore you will increase the friction. So again, the answer to that is to decrease the normal force and increase the coefficient of friction. And in that way, and decrease the coefficient friction, therefore, so that you decrease the frictional forces. The main thing is to make sure that you have good lubricant in your joints and that you have decreased weight on it. Now, with lateral epicondylitis, you can stop using, you know, do the thing like rest, not play squash or tennis for a while, and let the inflammation go down, because inflammation will cause rubbing. It will increase the coefficient of friction and therefore increase the likelihood of getting pain there. So that is why we tell athletes and people who have joint pain or have iliotibial band or lateral epicondylitis, or what we call tennis elbow, to not use it. And that will decrease the inflammation, and thereby that will, by decreasing the inflammation, you will decrease the frictional forces, and it can rest, and it will get better. So a lot of these overuse injuries, by not using them, decreases inflammation, and thereby they get better. Anyway, arthritis in our joints and these bands that rub across protrusions out of our bones is caused by friction. And friction is caused by an increase of the coefficient of friction. That is, it's making it rougher, and by normal force. And that can be caused by weight, or it can be caused by the foot over pronating, turning in, forcing the knee outwards, causing an increase in normal force. And remember that inflammation also contributes to that. So that's why resting that if and causing inflammation to go away helps. Anyway, this ends this discussion on friction and some of its causes. And as always, we say thank you for listening.